Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Monday. Morning, you're right. Another day, another dollar. Another week, another dollar. Chance to put right what once went wrong. How are you? I hope you're all right. Cecilia, do. My band of brothers and sisters, did you have a good weekend? I hope you did. It has just ticked past 8 in the a.m. British Summer Time on Monday, the 27th of July in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Completely disembodied voice. Omnipresent. Omniscient producer. All right, should we get into it? Should we just get straight into it? There's nothing for faffing about. Why are we fannying around? Let's just get straight into it. What's going on? What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors trying to tell you is or isn't important this morning? What are they lying to you about by omission? Quite a lot, actually, like they do every single day. Don't talk about Ehud Barak, yeah? Right. Okay. What have we got? They've decided, the legacy corporate lamestream media have decided, that youth benefits crackdown is important, and the Gatwick fly and dry, that's important. There was some sort of power outage in a nearby water plant and the water was cut off to Gatwick Airport. Not completely insignificant, but that's the most important thing, apparently, in the world, according to a lot of these papers. All right, let's have a look. Let's get into it. The Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. Complete slot, by the way, the Telegraph. I think it's a bit more sort of eminent in some ways. It's a bit more serious. A complete containment globalist, anti-white, anti-Western slop, like all the rest of them. PM to crack down on youth benefits. Payments may be stopped unless training or voluntary work is done. Reduced welfare bill will help fund defence and social care. Burnham wants to stop spending on certain things so he can spend on other things. Not spending in general, to balance the books and to try and manage our insane national debt. Not that. Just take with one hand to give with another. Right, okay. So youth benefits is in some of the other websites as well. It's one of the stories today. That so many people, youths, sort of under 25s, they mean really, just make more money by not working, just claim to have suffered from anxiety or something. And you'll make way more money that way, just free. Free bunts from the government. Make way more money than if you just work, an entry-level job, a minimum wage job. That should never be the case. It should never pay more to not work than to work. Burnham Society is going to sort of focus on that. It's only just plans. It's only talking about it. It's not like they've actually put forward legislation. Well, I can't anyway. Parliament's in recess, isn't it? So. But that's one of the stories, PM's crackdown on youth benefits, yeah. I mean, it's not fair, is it, on people that have genuinely got anxiety or ADHD, that have genuinely got it, genuinely suffer from it, and genuinely sort of is so bad, so debilitating that they can't work. It's not fair on those people, is it? That small number of people. Where you're just like 20, 21 or something, and you just realise, oh, if I just go to the doctor and just say, oh, I've got really bad anxiety. I feel anxious whenever I go out on something. And the doctor just says, okay, fine. Yep. Oh, I've got ADHD. I have to keep turning the lights on and off 5 times every time I leave or enter a room or something. I don't know what. But, you know, it's not fair on people with the real thing, is it? Because it's millions of people that are doing this now. Millions. I've got anxiety. I've got ADHD. I need to be signed off from work and take benefits. It's interesting to note, isn't it? In a lot of countries, most countries in the world, in fact, where their welfare state isn't completely out of control, not as many people suffer from that, do they? That's interesting to note, isn't it? If you have to work, otherwise you go hungry, suddenly the number of cases of sort of anxiety and ADHD and stuff fall off a cliff. That's interesting. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's an old biblical axiom, actually. If you don't work, you don't eat. Now how's your anxiety? Not having a pop at people who've genuinely got it. genuinely got some sort of debilitating real life chemical imbalance thing. It's not fair on them, is it? But yeah, it should never ever pay to not work. Quite simple as that. An axiom of a healthy society, that. Okay. Andy, but Andy, no Stern and Burnham, wants to steal from the young in order to give to the old. I'm characterising it that way. Pay for social care and fund defence. We'll get into that in a bit. The Right Honourable Mr. Wesley Streeting, practising homosexualist, who's now the Defence Secretary, says he will resign if he doesn't get the 3% GDP spending pledge on defence. We'll see if he's actually got the testicular fortitude to actually follow through with that. The threat. Follow through with the threat, I mean. Okay, wildfires. French look to evacuate Bordeaux, the whole of Bordeaux, as fires rage on. There's a picture that you can see there, if anyone's just listening to it. There's a picture there of wildfires. So this is on a lot of the front pages, and in fact, a fair few of the websites go with it at the front and centre. But there you go, there's the Daily Mail. Apocalyptic fires bear down on Bordeaux. Inferno so big it generates its own thunderstorms, threatening entire city as volunteer firefighters battle flames and 38 degrees centigrade heat set to fan the flames. Also in Madrid, Madrid is facing a very, very similar problem, looking at mass evacuations and stuff. Yeah, various numbers are saying of 325,000 people. I saw another one, 335,000 people have to be evacuated from these areas. There's even wildfires in Britain, up in the Cairngorms, isn't it? Which is in Scotland. It's in the Highlands, isn't it? The Cairngorms, isn't it? Eastern Highlands up there. Wildfires there. ITV News go with it, front and centre. Wildfires rage in France and Spain as tens of thousands evacuated near Bordeaux. Down on the south coast, Bordeaux. Sky News, front and centre. Wildfires within 7 miles of Bordeaux and advancing erratically as Macron to hold crisis meeting. Okay, all right. So with that said, I'm a little bit suspicious. Call me cynical. That perhaps all these wildfires aren't completely natural. Of course, wildfires are a natural thing occurring every year. In fact, it's completely necessary for the ecosystem, isn't it, in various ways. The regeneration, the rebirth of forested areas quite often. Wildfires are completely natural, of course. But this many, this often. Why might I be suspicious? Well, there's previous, isn't there? There's precedent, documented precedent for various peoples deliberately starting fires so that the narrative can be peddled of climate change. Because, of course, that's what all this leads to. What most of the legacy corporate lamestream media are peddling. It's that it's climate change, it's man-made climate change that's causing all of this. And in order to stop it, we've got to charge you 30p for a plastic bag. In order to stop wildfires, you can't have aircon in your home. In order to stop wildfires and the melting of the ice caps, you've got to stop using fossil fuels as a nation. You know, the whole narrative, the whole insane narrative. What precedent, Bo? What are you talking about? You mad far-right fantasist. What about, oh, I don't know, the Palisades fire in LA? Remember that one? Anybody remember that one? No? Anybody? No? What was the guy's name? Jonathan Rinder something. Rindernecht or something. Do you remember that? Was it around New Year's time? A couple of years ago. That was a massive fire. Like 12 people died in that. 6,000 homes. Billions of dollars worth of damage. Do you remember in the first week or two of that, wall to wall, climate change. It's climate change. This is what global warming does. This is what man-made generated CO2 does. This is the result of that. So you have to change your entire way of life and your entire economy. Don't worry about India and China burning fossil fuels. Don't worry about that. Don't talk about that, racist. It's climate change. happy now. No, it was some dude deliberately did it. Right. Do we know if many of these are being deliberately set by those with an agenda? Don't know yet. Will the various countries, France, Spain, Britain, will we investigate it properly? And even if we do, actually, will the mainstream media report on it? I'm a little bit suspicious, that's all I'll say. It's funny, isn't it, how we've gone centuries or certainly decades where wildfires weren't this common and now they are. Funny, isn't it? Like spontaneous church combustion, spontaneous church and cathedral combustion. Ones that have stood for centuries, centuries and centuries and centuries, suddenly all start burning down in the last half generation. Churches and cathedrals just spontaneously set themselves alight these days. Like this. Wildfires, it's just climate change, just spontaneously happen. Is it? Is it? Is that what we're looking at? Well, I'll be called a conspiracy theorist, won't I, if I go any further down that road. May as well quite literally wear a tinfoil hat if I should suggest such a thing. Okay. What else we got? I talked about that for a bit because they've got pictures of wildfires on a lot of the front pages. Okay, still in the Tory graph, the containment graph. Police force defies trans ruling to put biological men in women's cells. Why are you putting women in danger, Staffordshire Police? And the story is, it's specifically, they're talking about the Staffordshire Police. Why do you want to put women in danger? Dear Staffordshire Police, why are you doing that? Don't you care about the safety of women, actual biological women? Apparently you don't. Seems you don't. Otherwise, why would you do that? Again, there's been a ruling by the Supreme Court, the UK Supreme Court, something that we didn't have until Blair, that we've never needed for centuries. Anyway, at least in this one case, they were correct. Stopped clock is still right twice a day, isn't it? The Supreme Court said that trans women aren't women. A lot of the state just ignoring that. Staffordshire Police particularly said no, they will put people in cells along the lines of what gender they identify as. That's just simply putting women in danger. That's what that is. That's all that is. Why are you doing that, Staffordshire Police? Who exactly are the people that made that decision? There will be a few individuals. It's what it always boils down to, is it? There'll be a few people. That's the thing you realise. It took me till I was sort of in my 20s, certainly after I'd done my A-levels and my undergrad, to realise. Sometimes you think it's just this general blob, this general thing, this general establishment that such and such happened. It will always boil down to a few people in a committee room, a few small people in a meeting room or a conference room who make decisions like this. That's how the world works, actually, right? Oh, it's the Home Office, this anonymous, impersonal thing that has made... It's Staffordshire Police, just as an organisation, as a thing. No, it'll boil down to a few people, individual real-life people, sitting in a committee room making a decision. That's how the world is. Who are they, then? Let's see if we get the names of the individual people at the Staffordshire Police that made that decision. Then held to account now. Well, the state won't do that, will it? The Home Office won't do that. I suspect they won't anyway. Putting biological men in women's cells. Mentalists. On top of the Supreme Court has already judged against such a thing. They should be held to account then. Aren't the individual people that made that decision at Staffordshire Police breaking the law? It's not just in bad taste, is it? It's not just sort of morally wrong. It's breaking the law, isn't it? Isn't it? So shouldn't they be held to account? Yes, well, they really should. Iran charity has right to bring migrants to UK. Brilliant. Brilliant. In this little story, it's saying it's not that, like, this Iranian charity wants to do it and the Home Office is going to attempt to block them in the courts. No, the Home Office are signing off on it. It's a list, it's a Home Office list where they've added this charity, which is thought of or is some sort of front for the IRGC or the Iranian state's propaganda machine. That's a quote there. Propaganda machine. They're allowed to bring over whoever they want. Don't you remember just the other day that the Iranian state media said that, if nothing else, RAF Fairford was a legitimate target for them because it facilitates US B-1 bombers, if nothing else. Oh, but also, we'll get a charity to bring Iranian migrants over. It's our government and the state sort of deliberately putting us in danger, isn't it? Isn't it? It's difficult to characterise it any other way than they're just deliberately destabilising us and putting us in danger from 100 different vectors all at once. Oh, but Andy Burnham and David Paulden and Ed Davey, they're just laughing up. They'll just make videos of them dancing and laughing. Tim Stanley says, the right must get to grips with the reality of climate change. Shut up, Tim Stanley, you child. You disgusting little cretin. You hand-picked shill. Has Tim Stanley ever had a decent take? You ever watched that thing, the Telegraph's podcast with Tim Stanley and that frightful Camilla woman? You ever seen that? These are hand-picked shills. These are phonies. These are phonies. All their takes are signed off by their paymasters, right? Their editors, you can or can't say that. Tim Stanley, the right must get to grip with the reality of climate change. Shut up, mate. What are you talking about? You can imagine his producers going, hey, Tim, why didn't you write a piece about the right and the reality of climate change? And Tim Stanley's like, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, whatever you say. Tim Stanley's, like, his opinions are of any value. Is there a better embodiment, personification of a phony shill than Tim Stanley? A revolting child. Ugh. Ugh. All right, the Times, let's move on, the venerable Times. £3.2 billion to switch off wind farms when network cannot cope. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Absolutely ridiculous. When the wind farms, when there's not enough wind, yeah, there's not enough wind at some point, so they have to switch back to, like, a fossil fuel burning alternative, just to switch over to that, £3.2 billion. Right. So not cost effective then. In any way, just that alone. So the whole thing's silly, then, is what you're saying, is what that means. Trump has a bee in his bonnet, doesn't he, about wind farms. That they're ugly and not efficient and a bit of a boondoggle, a bit of a gimmick thing. He always talks about, doesn't he, how China manufacture, sort of precision engineered those giant... The giant wings on the turbines. That's a proper word for it, not wings, you know what I mean. The arms that stick out. A sort of precision engine, mainly in China. China export them and sell them all around the world. Meanwhile, China, vaguely, roughly speaking, don't use many wind farms. Because it's a silly thing. Because if there's not enough wind, it will cost you loads just to switch them off. What? Okay, the wildfires, same picture, wasn't it, basically? Avoid fire-hit region, France urges tourists. Macron's going to go there, you know, Macron's going to personally visit it. What difference will that make? None. teen anxiety pays more than job. Young people who take up part-time work on minimum wage earn £100 less than those claiming sickness benefits. Should never be the case. Should never, ever be the case. A ridiculous thing. And how can you just start claiming sickness benefits for anxiety payments very easily, apparently, according to accounts? You might think, oh, you'd have to go through many, many layers of being assessed before the government just says, the NHS and the government just says, yep, okay, your anxiety is bad enough that you can't work, you cannot work. So in order that you can eat and afford shoes, the state, will just give you money. You might think there'd be a very high bar. Nope. Just go there and claim it. Trying to tank our economy, aren't they? Trying to ruin a generation of youth. Are they not? Okay, the eye paper. Council tax and stamp duty to be scrapped under Burnham plans. Here's an actual story. Interesting story. Remember how No Sternum Burnham, King of the North, Andy Bumham, first of his name, with his guyliner and mascara and moobs, how he said his government would be the most radical for 40 years. Meanwhile, all we really got is musical chairs of people that have already been in government, loads and loads of old Blairites, all the same old faces, saying that he will stick with the manifesto, saying that he will cap bus fares at £2. Not radical. Nothing radical there, let alone the most radical for 40 years. Nothing radical. Well, here's something, it's not what I would call massively radical, but here's something with a little bit more substance. Again, at this stage, you're only talking about it. So any noises coming out of Number 10 or Number 10 North, not actually firm policy or anything yet. It's just people briefing the media, but possibly scrap council tax and stamp duty. Don't worry, they'll bring in loads of other taxes. Don't worry, almost certainly net you'll end up paying more, but let's read the little blurb on the front of the eye paper. It's usually about the best you get out of Fleet Street on any given day. It says, the government is actively considering options, to replace council tax and stamp duty as pressure grows on the Prime Minister to reform a system he previously condemned as unfair. I mean, that would be a fairly large move, not exactly seismic, but in the scheme of things, fairly large if there was to replace council tax and stamp duty entirely. Again, don't worry, you'll still get taxed to the hilt. More than 100 Labour MPs now back an overhaul with two alternatives, a proportional property tax and a land value tax, regarded as the best replacement options in Whitehall. Again, taxing more sort of people that own anything. Property tax and land value tax. If you own something, the Pinkos in Westminster, the Fabians, the socialists, the commie wannabes, the champagne socialists LARPing as commies, actual commies. If you've got land or property, they want you destroyed. Filthy kulak. How dare you own something? They want to eat the rich and annihilate the middle class, because that's what all socialists always want to do, because their politics is the politics of resentment. Pretty straightforward. Burnham's plan to hand over income tax funds. Start that again. Burnham's plan to hand over income tax funds to mayoralties is criticised by economists and MPs who warn that areas without mayors will lose out, creating a two-tier country. Maybe not. It's all just plans, isn't it? It's all just pie-in-the-sky talk at the moment. But who knows if that's true or not. It could be. It's not like, because Andy Burnham said that he wanted to give income tax directly to mayors as their budget so they can spend it how they see fit. It didn't necessarily rule out that places that haven't got mayors won't get any, but it might be that. Who knows? Okay. New Prime Minister rules out an early general election, saying, quote, I don't think people want it, quote, don't they? You would say that though, wouldn't you? doesn't think people want a general election, really. That's convenient, isn't it, Andy? That's convenient, no Sternum Burnham. That means you just get to sit in power like a cuckoo in the nest till 2029, doesn't it? The 20, 25 or 1,000 people of Makerfield and 330-odd Labour MPs and the promise that you're going to stand by the Labour manifesto, even though the Labour manifesto is very, very thin in terms of policy and you don't seem to be sticking to it anyway, that's your mandate, is it? That's your popular mandate, is it? That's what gives you the legitimacy and the right to rule this country, does it? People don't want a general election, don't they? You're right. This is a bloodless coup d'etat. It flies in the face of the core tenets of a democracy, a popular democracy. But King Bumham, the first of his name, King of the North, thinks that people don't want it. But he would say that, wouldn't he? In Bowes Britain, I would pass an Act of Parliament which said you couldn't do that. If a party ever coups out its own leader, they're in government anyway, coups out their own leader mid-parliament, there should be a law saying you have to go back to the public at that point. How dare you sit there as a cuckoo in the nest, how dare you, and claim it's legitimate. Claim the people don't want a say. The brass neck of that. The cheek, the chutzpah of that. Sickening. Absolutely sickening. I couldn't sleep at night if it was me. If I ever found myself in that situation, I would definitely call a general election at that point. How can you sleep at night? How can you even tell yourself that you're legitimate? You're not legitimate. A pox on the phony Prime Minister of Great Britain, that's what I say. The Guardian, It's like the bog of eternal stench. What is that rotten, fetid stank? Oh, it's The Guardian, that's what that is. Revolting. Like a hot compost heap or something. Ooh. Stomach turning, The Guardian. Alright. Okay. Something about George Michael, don't care. Miliband, Red Ed Miliband, vows to give UK global leadership role on climate crisis. His net zero climate mania has gone global. There's a picture of the wildfires again. Ed Miliband, it says, Minister Ed, is to take up UK position on World Bank board in show of intent. Let me read the little thing it says. The Foreign Secretary, Red Ed Miliband, is to indicate he will put climate change and overseas development, just giving our money away to foreign countries, largely to hate us, even send us their criminals. He wants to put that at the heart of the UK international relations by taking up the country's seat on the board of the World Bank, the position which is usually, it's very, very small for me, which is usually delegated to a junior minister, means Miliband will play an active role in shaping the changes to the World Bank that developing countries have called for and ensuring the climate remains a focus for overseas aid. That is right at the limit of my eyesight there. Okay. Like an actual eye test. Can you read that? Yeah, there you go. So Ed Miliband, it goes on, I read it earlier, goes on to say that he wants to put climate change and, overseas aid at the heart of our foreign policy. And he's going to take for himself a position on the board of the World Bank to sort of push that agenda. This is an insane person. Ed Miliband is an insane communist, basically, as far as I'm concerned. You know Ed Miliband's father? An actual Marxist. You can only imagine the household that the Miliband brothers were brought up in. You can only imagine it. Ed Miliband, if you live in his constituency, next general election, think carefully about voting Labour. Think carefully about it. Miliband, completely mental. Again, I think historians will look back in generations' time, hundreds of years' time, 1,000 years' time. They'll look back at Britain in the early 21st century and they'll say, they'll ask the question, what sort of psychological malady took hold in the political elite in the late 20th century, early 21st century? What was in the minds of the men of power and the political elites that led to them advocating for and trying to carry out insane policies, suicidal policies, policies that actively and obviously so weren't in the interest of the nation and the people? How to explain that? It's people like Ed Miliband, isn't it? Traitors. In other words, seditious traitors. Actively try and undermine us from every angle. Ed Miliband wants to start giving away more and more money to countries, foreign countries. Many countries that hate us. More. Well, then how explain that they were returned to Parliament time after time after time? Then you start looking at the legacy corporate mainstream media, don't you? Where anyone that is based, anyone that does have the sort of opinions I've just expressed, someone like Red Ed Miliband and his net zero and foreign aid madness is a disgusting, treasonous thing. Anyone that talks like that, there's whole mechanisms in society to prevent people like us with that worldview from getting anywhere near selection, let alone power. Yeah. Hope Not Hate, many, many such organisations. They'll flag you up to the legacy corporate mainstream media like the Mail, like the Express, like the Times, like the Guardian. They'll flag you up to them and then they will ruin you. Attempt to ruin you. So you will never ever get selected, let alone in Parliament, let alone in government. And so you end up with a Parliament full of Ed Milibands and Stella Creases and Lisa Nandys. That's how. Something's got to change. The Overton window has to shift much further to the right. Or to the centre, really, because it's so far to the left. So crazily out to the left, my left. Yeah. The whole paradigm, this whole paradigm, that we have to give more and more money, our money, even though we're in insane debt, we can barely refill the interest payments on our debts. They're constantly moaning about the evil bond markets holding us in hock to them, but we'll just keep giving away loads more money. Keep going on and on about climate change. More safe and legal routes. We've already been invaded to the tune of 10 to 20 million people since 1997, putting pressure on everything from housing to school sizes to NHS waiting lists, not to mention the insane amount of sex crime, murders and terrorist mass casualty events. But we need more safe and legal routes, if anything. All of that needs to be swept aside and changed. We need a government which will act in our interests. We have to have it sooner or later, because if we don't, it will just be full collapse. We're going to a sectarian nightmare. Aren't we already in the very beginnings of a sectarian nightmare along tribal, racial and religious lines? Yeah. Oh, but Andy Burnham and Ed Davey will just laugh it up. Post videos of themselves dancing and laughing. Even Reform go up on stage with some pyrotechnics and all the leadership standing there laughing hysterically. See Reform do that sometimes? They're on stage. You've got Nige and Tyson, whoever, are up there for the photos laughing their heads off. What's funny? What's funny, really? All right. Andy Byrne, I'm not going to say anything about the migration problem, our invasion, let alone re-migration. Wouldn't touch that with a barge pole, would he? You'd have to be some sort of far-right fantasist. You'd have to be an evil, racist bigot. You'd have to be ethically on the level of a full-blown Nazi to even dream of talking about re-migration. Even though it's obviously the solution, isn't it? Obviously so. Diversity isn't a strength, much less our greatest strength. It isn't. Of course it isn't. Homogeneity is a strength. Of course it is. Of course. Diversity is our strength. Yeah, if your aim is to get 190 rapes a day, yeah, if your aim is to destroy the NHS, then it's a strength, yeah. If your ultimate aim and goal is to create a low-trust, high-crime society, then diversity is a strength. Sure, sure, sure. Police look into reform donations by Tice firm. They're really going for reform, aren't they? Really going for it. Payments to Reform UK, first revealed by The Guardian, and now being investigated by the Metropolitan Police, the London Police. Again, it's right on the limit of what I can read, but I read it earlier and I'll paraphrase. It says that posh George, remember George? George Cottrell and his mum? George Cottrell and his mum, Fiona. They gave loads of money, like something to the tune of £1 million, to, was it one of Richard Tice, to his, one of his companies, something like that. Apologies if I get any of these details slightly wrong. Anyway, a bunch of it ended up in Reform UK coffers. Is there anything wrong with that? Were any rules broken? Was any law broken? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I really don't know. But the Met Police are looking into it. Tice himself, Containment Tice, a moral coward, did say, to be fair to him, in this instance, that he hasn't been informed about it, and that it's very odd that the police wouldn't speak to interested parties, that they would just start this investigation and then and somehow brief it to The Guardian or the legacy corporate lamestream media and not talk to him, not ask him about it in any way. Fair point. Are the police in cahoots with the blob, the deep state, to try and ruin reform at any cost? Working hand in glove with the media. Does look that way, doesn't it? You know, I'm not reform here. They treated me quite poorly, but I did vote for them anyway through gritted teeth at the last general election. I'm more of a restore guy. I'm more Rupert than Nige. But I still wouldn't pour absolute scorn on reform for no good reason. Would still stand up for them if it's shown that they are completely the victim of a deep, deep, deep stitch-up. It does look like that, doesn't it? I think their policies are milquetoast, are not strong enough, are not what's necessary. When Nigel basically capitulated to Islam and said that he wasn't concerned in that interview with Stephen Edgington, said he wasn't concerned about demographic change, right? So he's not my guy. Nigel's not my guy. Reform, if I was still in reform at that point, I would have left, because that's not good enough. That still locks in our demographic decline and replacement. That's still a nightmare for this country, for these islands. So reform aren't good enough for me. But if they are being absolutely stitched up by the globalists, the globalist establishment, I'll call it out happily. Happily. It's not fair, is it? Life isn't fair. Politics isn't fair. The world isn't fair. The Daily Mail wearing the skin suit of patriotism. The Daily Mail, just as much seditious globalist slop as all the others, occasionally giving you a bit of red meat, thinking, trying to make you think they're on your side in some way, they care about you. No. No. They'll try and destroy a reform or restore or anyone to the right of Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian anchor baby, somehow finds herself LARPing as the leader of the opposition. They'll try and destroy those people just as much as The Guardian. Or the Metro or whatever, the Standard, just as much. Pure slop, pure slop. French mayor warns of apocalyptic fires are at the gates. To the very walls of hell. Bordeaux, now entire city faces evacuation. As PM refuses to commit to 3% funding increase of the defence budget by 2030, Streeting, practicing homosexualist, Mr. Wesley Streeting, the Right Honourable, will quit if defence plan falls short. So brave. So brave of Mr. Wesley Streeting, who's definitely going to lose his seat next time. Ilford North, isn't it? You've got a majority of 600 odd, isn't it? Something in that ballpark, a few hundred. Completely captured foreign enclave, Ilford. Oh, completely. Go to Ilford, walk around Ilford in East London. You could be in Delhi. You could be in Islamabad. Will Mr. Streeting keep his seat at the next general election? No, almost certainly not. I would not have thought so. So it's kind of irrelevant what he does, whether he quits government or not. Because he'll be on the scrap heap of history in 2 years. Two and a bit years, whatever it is. They'll probably give him a seat in the Lords, won't they? They'll probably ennoble him. The Lord Streeting, First Baron Streeting. The Financial Times. Gen Z victory, Modi caves into protesters, don't care. Don't care about Indian politics. Biggest defence companies home in on startups for nimble and military tech. Push into, quote, modern warfare, quote. Data comes as US and Iran halt fire. Oh yeah, Donald Trump's stopped bombing Iran for a little while. He wants to make space so that they can talk. It's funny, this, the line coming out of the White House and the State Department until, like, what, 24 hours ago or so, was they're not interested, they, the US, are not interested in talking to the Iranians. They don't believe the Iranians are sort of in good faith. And that's fair, that's good, because of course they're not. But now the Donald wants to make space so they can talk again. Is it just what Dr. Steve Turley said, that it is actually part of the plan? To smash Iran, let Iran bring out some of its remaining military assets so that the US can annihilate them. And then when the oil price spikes too much, they'll have talks. They'll have talks and calm down very deliberately, peaks and troughs in the violence, so that the oil price can calm down again. And then repeat until Iran's got no military materiel left. And that's the 4D, 5D chess plan. It might be. I don't think it is, but maybe Dr. Steve Turley's got it right for once. Maybe not. Maybe it's pure cope. Let's have a look at the price of oil, the price of crude on the open market in real time. Well, Brent crude, $91 a barrel. West Texas, $84. So, you know, higher. Remember, when this war started in February, very, very roughly speaking, because there isn't just one number, but very roughly speaking, crude was trading at about $80 a barrel, $79, $78, $80 a barrel, something in that ballpark. It's more than that, isn't it? But massively more. It's come down. That price has come down. It was knocking up $100 at the end of last week, wasn't it? I think Brent broke through the $100, that ultimately arbitrary, psychologically important barrel of $100 barrel. It's come down a bit. So if that is Trump's master plan to lure Iran into a false sense of security so they can blow up their stuff, do that for a while, then stop and pull back so the price of oil can rebound, and then rinse and repeat. Maybe. Maybe not. Okay, back to the front pages. Oh, yeah, look, 335,000. Spain and France evacuate 335,000 as raging wildfires threaten major cities. They're just wildfires. That's all they are. It's a wildfire. Don't worry about how it really started. Just a wildfire. Okay. Mad Bank climate change, is it? Sure. The Metro. The Metro. Stop. Get some help. The Metro. I would have a sedition act and close the Metro. That's what I would do in Bo's Britain. Yeah. Oh, that's very, very authoritarian, Bo. Yeah, good. Yeah. How disgusting, the Metro. Absolutely disgusting. Day after day after day. Pumping out sedition. Fly and dryer. Like this is really an important story in the scheme of things, in the world. Everything that's going on in the world right now. As I mentioned earlier, there was some sort of power plant which gives power to feed water to Gatwick Airport. Had a power cut. And so there was a water shortage in Gatwick Airport, which meant toilets wouldn't flush. And the taps were turned off. You know, turn on the tap, no water came out. Some of the toilets had to be shut. Look, they've put shutters across some of it. That's it. That's it. There's nothing else. That's the story. That's the whole story. Front page news. Of everything that's happening in the world right now, the editors at the Metro think that is the most important thing you need to be told about. It's lying by omission, isn't it? All the other things you could report on. Like literally a whole world of more important things that you could report on. What's George Osborne's connection to the fifth Baron Rothschild and his connection to Epstein? What about that? No? No, no. It's that the water was cut off to Gatwick. Right, okay. Okay. If you say so, Metro. Good one. The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. You can get your news from the Express now. Thousands of new officers could have been recruited since 2020, but instead, police waste millions on diversity schemes. Great. Diversity schemes have cost police forces more than £500 million that could have instead have been used to fight crime, a report claims. The £631 million spent on diversity, equity and inclusion initiatives since 2020 could have funded 2,000 more frontline officers every day, the Policy Exchange think tank revealed. Well, thanks for bringing that to us, The Express. Funny, though, when people actually start talking about, if a party actually starts talking about doing away with DEI and fighting anti-racism, if a party ever does that, you try and demonise them and destroy them, though. So what are you talking about, The Express? What are you doing? Is this just a bit of red meat so people will buy your paper or click on your website, but you don't actually mean it? You don't actually care? Is that what's going on here? Of course it's what's going on here, yeah. For someone like, some party like Reform or Restore, actually want to battle this, certainly Reform, sorry, Restore. How many times do I say Reform? Mean to say Reform and say Restore and the other way around. Ugh. Why did Restore pick a name so close to Reform? Anyway. Yeah, The Express will demonise them and try and do hit piece after hit piece after hit piece. So why are you complaining now, The Express? Is this all just complete performative nonsense? It is, isn't it? Don't trust The Express. Again, like the Mail, wearing the skin suit. Sort of nativism or patriotism, pretending they're on your side, pretending they want the best from the nation, and they're aghast at something like DEI initiatives in the police. Are you really, though? Are you, though? You try and destroy a party that actually wants to do something about it. Weird. The Mirror. Just a horrible individual story. Grieving mum's water plea. No child should die for a day at the seaside. And it's a story that this little poor little kid swam in the sea near like the sewage and got E. coli and died. Yeah, and of course it's right to not want sewage companies to pump sewage into the sea. Of course. It's just an individual horror story, isn't it? Just an individual horror story. Thanks for that. Again, out of everything in the world, not that this isn't an important issue. It is. Are there more important things in the world going on? Of course there are. Did the cynical, evil editors at the Mirror just decide this will what will get us most clicks? If it bleeds, it leads. This will is what we calculate will sell most papers. Great. Thanks, the Mirror. The Mirror's one of the worst. It's possibly worse than The Guardian in a couple of different respects. At least The Guardian's pretty honest about what it is, really. The Guardian doesn't wear much of a mask the way The Express and The Mail and The Mirror do. They all wear masks, though, don't they? Well, that's correct, Wendy. We all wear masks, metaphorically speaking. The Mirror is one of the worst. Pretending it's something it's not really does. The Mirror. Some of the worst globalism pumped out of The Mirror. Some of the most reformed derangement syndrome, Nigel derangement syndrome. And the worst cases is The Mirror. All right, the Daily Star, what absolute slop are they serving us up? Crime exclusive, that people go to the petrol pump, fill up and drive away. Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, it's really bad. More than 800 people a day do it. Yeah, all right. Oh, yeah, it's bad. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Anything else? Anything of actual, any real importance? No. The Sun, even more sloppy. Ronaldo, that's Cristiano Ronaldo. Lights, camera, Actron. Action, Actron, Ron, Ronaldo. Ace produces TV drama, striker to play himself. It's a story, there's some TV drama where Damian Lewis is going to play like a football agent. Yeah, did you ever see Billions? That was quite good, wasn't it? It might be a good role for Damian Lewis. He's going to play some high budget TV drama where Damian Lewis plays a football agent and Cristiano Ronaldo is actually a producer on it, spending a bit of his own money and being a producer on it. And he himself will even appear as a cameo or something in it. That's the most important thing in the world now, according to The Sun, or today, this morning. That's the most vital thing that you need to know at a glance that's going on. Not our invasion. Not the tsunami of invaders. Not the unbelievable number of rapes that happen in this country. Not that, no. That Cristiano Ronaldo is acting as a producer and may appear as a cameo in some Damian Lewis TV show. Right, okay. Okay. You're going to tell me this cabal of Fleet Street editors aren't evil? It's evil. They're not doing their job, are they? They're not doing their job. The job of the media is to shine a light on things that are important. This is not important. Fundamentally, it's not important, is it? All right, they're the front pages. They're the increasingly infuriating and absurd front pages. It's the cavalcade of slop. All right, let's have a look at our poll. We do our poll about this time of the show, don't we? What did we ask you guys today? Oh, we asked you guys, and over 1,200 of you have voted. Let's lock it up. Let's get 1,300. We asked you guys, could some wildfires have been deliberately started by climate activists? Could they have? Just posing the question. Just asking questions. The ayes have it. You're my people. The glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. 84% of you say yes. Only 2% say no and 14% say maybe. All I know is my gut says maybe. Only 2% say no. It's a stonking win. It was a national referendum. You claim a mandate for all time, wouldn't you? 84%. Could some wildfires have been deliberately started by climate activists? That 2% who say no, a definite no, get out. Go on, bugger off. This isn't the podcast for you. You're not wanted. Leave. Goodbye. Don't let the dog hit you in the ass on the way out. Don't go. Don't leave me. I still love you. I still love you. I was joking. That was a joke. Come on, baby. Don't go. Don't leave me. That was a joke. Obviously, I was joking. Please stay. Don't go. Okay. Should we have a look at... Oh, it's already 5-2. I was going to do a couple of other stories. What was I going to do? We'll have a quick look at... have a quick look. I mean, no massive rush today. I'm not on the main podcast, so... Let's do an hour and a half. Let's do it. Who cares? It's supposed to be an hour long show. Don't say I'm not generous. Don't say I'm not a river to buy people. Did I just compare myself to Abu Altayi, one of the greatest warlords of all time? Hero among men. Didn't I? Bit presumptuous. Anyway, let's carry on. Andy Bumham, King of the North, first of his name, says the NHS will collapse without social care reform. PM tells the BBC. It's going to collapse anyway. You understand that. Anyone on there, any liberal or socialist who thinks the NHS is some sort of holy, sacred cow that cannot be allowed to collapse or die no matter what? Well, I've got a newsflash for you. It's going to collapse anyway. How do I know that? Why am I making such a bold prediction in such unequivocal terms? Because you've allowed 10 to 20 million people to come here. The NHS cannot absorb that. It cannot. And still more safe in legal routes, more safe in legal routes. Another Boris, up to 2030, and we're expecting another 7 million odd people to come here. The NHS cannot absorb that. You can have one or the other. You can have a functioning NHS, or you can have open borders. You can't have both. You cannot. You ever go to a waiting room these days, and it's just full of foreign people, visibly foreign people, chatting away in their foreign dialects? Every single one of those people, every single one of those appointments they have with a consultant or a scheduled operation, every single one of those is an appointment or operation taken away from the native people of these islands, every single one. You want a health service that's free at point of use for everyone, but you're going to flood it with millions of more people. Well, that doesn't work. That's not sustainable, is it? That's not sustainable. Oh, but you're worried about just the healthcare part of it. We'll twiddle around the edges of social care reform. No Stirling Burnham's going to fiddle around on the edges of social care reform, and that will save the NHS from collapse. No, it won't. No, it won't. You need to deport, remigrate millions of people. If millions must go, then millions must go. Otherwise, things like the NHS and our hospitals and our schools and our housing will all implode and collapse. The economy itself, the fabric of our society, will implode and collapse. I don't want that to happen. That's what quite a lot of our enemies will say when we talk about things like that. Oh, that's what you want. That's your wet dream, isn't it? No. We're talking about it now. I've been talking about it for years because it's exactly what I don't want. I feel like a Cassandra. You know? The Cassandra figure. In the ancient world, in Troy, in fact. Doomed to be able to see the future and that no one will believe her. What a disgusting counter-argument it is from the left when the right talk about this stuff. We need to remigrate people because if you've allowed 10 to 20 million people come here, it puts so much stress on everything that everything collapses and falls apart. That when we highlight that, we're the problem. We want that collapse. No, the exact opposite. Disgusting argument they use. PM pledges continued support for Ukraine ahead of Zelensky visit. Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, he said, what has he said? That just an unending support for Ukraine. Where was it in there? I thought it was in the mail. I guess not. There was one story. Oh, here we go. Look, there we go. So it's ITV News. Burnham pledges unwavering support for Ukraine ahead of Zelensky visit. Brilliant. Put Ukrainian interests above ours. You crazy SOB. Traitor. It's quite simply traitorous. Andy Burnham has said the UK support for Ukraine remains unwavering, ahead of welcoming Volodymyr Zelensky on Monday as his first international visitor since becoming Prime Minister. That's telling, isn't it? The very, very first foreign leader that he gets to speak to, in person anyway, is Ukraine. This weird little goblin man. This, again, a hand-picked globalist freak that we're supposed to give him endless money. It's the most corrupt government on earth, isn't it? Or top five, certainly top five. The most corrupt. Where's all those billions and billions and billions and billions from Western Europe and the United States gone? Is there going to be an audit of exactly where all that money's gone and what it's been spent on? Nope. Nope. Just endless more, though. Mad. Mad. Apparently we're going to give him a thing called Stone Cloak, which is cutting-edge British technology to help, I think it's to help cloak Ukrainian drones and missiles so the Russians can't see them and intercept them. Great. Why we're involved in that conflict at all, I have no idea. It's nothing to do with us. I don't buy the narrative that Mr. Putin, as soon as he's done with the Donbass, will invade the rest of Ukraine and then on to Poland and Estonia and Latvia, Lithuania, and on into the plains of eastern Germany. It's not 1956. Right, Putin's not, it's got no, I don't believe, has got designs on rolling tank divisions into Budapest. Again, it's not the 50s, not the height of the Cold War. That's what they have you to believe. We must protect Ukraine because Russia is completely out of control and means to take Eastern Europe or something. I don't buy it. And if we don't stop there, he'll roll into Frankfurt and then onto Paris like Tsar Alexander in the early 19th century. Mr. Putin's cavalry divisions will be watering themselves in the Seine if we don't stand firm in the Donbass. What? What? Nonsense. Nonsense. Don't talk to me like that. Palpable nonsense. But just more endless money for this weirdo to embezzle. Okay, all right. Our cutting-edge technology goes straight to Zelensky's front lines. Why? Is a lovely story from The Sun. Taking the pee. Furious drug dealer dodges deportation to Albania because his daughter wets the bed. When I talk about mass deportations or remigration, people say, oh, it's racist. You're being racist. It's not necessarily all about the melanin in their skin. There's plenty of white people I'd like to see thrown out of my country. Plenty of people that are white that need to go back to their countries of origin. Romanians, Albanians, Poles, all sorts. Ukrainians, all sorts. I'd like to see this guy deported back to the land of his ancestors. He's not brown, is he? A drug dealer dodged deportation because his daughter wets the bed. No idea how to pronounce his name. Shrepism. Shaprezim Coca, convinced a tribunal judge that sending him back to Albania would be unduly harsh on his daughter, given her accidents. She wets the bed. The migration court heard the youngster's nightmares and bedwetting got worse whenever Coca, 38, was in jail. Had been in and out of jail. A social worker even warned the girl needed therapeutic intervention. I don't care. I don't care. That weighed against the fabric of my society. I don't care if she wets the bed. They can go back. The whole family can go back to Albania, can't they? Heaven forfend that we break up families. They can all go back. We're in the wrong country. Coca had claimed to be a Kosovan refugee when he arrived in Britain in 2001, aged 14. So just a liar from the beginning, a cheater and a liar and a scumbag. In 2017, he was jailed for 21 months for helping a drug gang launder money. an Albanian drug gang money launderer. How he's been allowed to stay. Mad. He had been caught by the National Crime Agency handing over more than £300,000 in Park Royal, West London. Coker was due to be deported after serving his sentence, but remained in Britain. We need to repeal, leave the ECHR and whatever. And whatever stops the government from deporting people like this. We have to. I'm done with caring about this kid's, his kid's bedwetting. Or someone else's kid can't eat foreign Eastern European chicken nuggets, so they must stay here indefinitely. No. In 2022, he was jailed, again, for 3 years for cocaine dealing. So it's a complete scumbag. A career criminal. He appealed against fresh plans to deport him, on the grounds his daughter would suffer. And in February last year, a first-tier tribunal immigration court ruled, quote, the effect on the girl would be unduly harsh, quote, mad. The Home Office challenged the decision and a new hearing has been ordered. Robert Bates of the Centre for Migration Control said, this crook must not be allowed to continue plaguing Britain's streets. Yes, absolutely. Based. Love it. Of course. That's a centrist position, actually, isn't it? That's not right wing. It's not far right. That's an utterly centrist, reasonable position to hold. Why should he be allowed to continue plaguing our country? Robert Based of the Centre for Migration Control said, alternatively, his daughter could return with him to Albania. Yeah, just do that. Of course. All right. It's nearly 10 past nine. Let's do On This Day in History. Let's do that bit. I quite like doing that bit. You guys seem to like me doing that bit. Should we do that bit? On This Day in History, down through the centuries, 27th of July, what happened of note? On this day in 1586, Sir Walter Raleigh brings the first tobacco to England from Virginia. Harry. Oh, can't quite see it there. On that banner there, I've got my own history themed show behind the paywall on lotuseaters.com. Consider signing up for as little as £5 a month volunteer membership. Hundreds of hours, quite literally, no exaggeration, hundreds of hours of long form content, history themed long form content. Do you think I've got a long-form bit of content there, an hour and a half, all about the life and times and career and adventures of Sir Walter Raleigh. Oh, yeah, it's there. It might have been the first time he brought tobacco back specifically from Virginia, but it wasn't the first time tobacco was brought to, back to Britain or Europe from the New World. Some people think that. Some armchair historians think that, say that. It was Walter Raleigh that first introduced Europe to tobacco. No. Tobacco had come back long before that. Well, not long, but he wasn't the first. But popular history says it was him, but it wasn't. A little bit of a history nerd fedora on. Forget my history nerd's fedora. Actually, Sir Walter Raleigh wasn't the first one to bring tobacco back to Europe. Anyway, you want an hour and a half or more, whatever it was, me talking about Sir Walter Raleigh. It's a fascinating life, absolutely fascinating life. Nearly everything he did in adult life was sort of interesting or of note. A key player in all sorts of ways. During the Elizabethan age and just after into the age of James. Okay. On this day in 1689, Battle of Jimmy Cranky, sorry, Killy Cranky, is the Jacobite Scottish Highlanders under Viscount Dundee. Defeat Royalist forces under General Hugh Mackay. Yeah, just to be clear, this is a generation or more, nearly two generations before the rebellion of Bonnie Prince Charlie. We talked a little bit about Bonnie Prince Charlie, didn't we? On Friday, was it? Maybe Thursday? This is before that. That's more like the 1740s. So this is an earlier Jacobite rebellion. There you go. The Battle of Wee Jimmy Cranky. Okay, on this day in 1789, US Congress establishes the Department of Foreign Affairs, now referred to as the State Department. 1789. There you go. It wasn't until around that time that the that the United States sort of really starts cooking on gas, if you like. As you know, everyone knows 1776 is the big day, right? The big year with the Declaration of Independence and everything. You think, oh, the United States is sort of a fully functioning nation. Sort of began in 1776. No. Quite a few years later, before the Constitution is ratified, before all British troops finally leave forever. It's much more like the 1780s, late 1780s before that really happens. Well, there you go. I mean, the State Department doesn't begin until 1789. That tells you something, doesn't it? Gives you an indication. You might think, wouldn't they have some sort of equivalent, a Department of Foreign Affairs, straight away? As soon as the Continental Congress in 1776, like the day after, the week after the Declaration of Independence, they'll start setting up stuff like that. No, it's not how it went. It's not really how it went. Okay. On this day in 1866, first transatlantic telegraph cable comes ashore at Hart's Content, Newfoundland, after being laid out 1,686 miles by Isambard Kingdom Brunel's Great Eastern Steamship. Yet to this day, there's still cables laid across the floor of the Atlantic Ocean connecting Europe and the United States. Obviously, these days, they're fibre optic cables. But yeah, that was first done in the 1860s. The first couple of attempts failed. Quite technically, logistically, physically, technically, quite a difficult thing to do. A 1,700 mile long length of cable, unbroken, to lay it across the floor of the Atlantic, and for that to sort of work. Technically difficult. But it was done. It's earlier than you might think. Perhaps not. I always think whenever I hear about this. And Brunel's Great Eastern, that's a whole story in and of itself. A great story if you're interested in shipping and ships and engineering and stuff. It was the biggest ship ever created at the time. And Brunel had this dream of creating like a giant ship. They called it the Great Eastern. It's giant. It was like a big, massive paddle thing on the side, like a paddle steamer. It was the biggest ship. People were like, when he drew up plans for it, they're like, that's crazy. That doesn't work. That won't float. Steel hulled. That won't work. It's too big. Surely that won't sail. He did it. It wasn't really commercially successful, though, the Great Eastern. At first, it was meant to be sort of a cruiser for just normal people, passengers. It wasn't really commercially successful for a number of reasons. Anyway, they ended up using it to do this and various other things. If you're interested in the story of ships, the Great Eastern is a great story. All right, last one here. And on this day, 1921, Frederick Banting and Charles Best isolate insulin at the University of Toronto for the first time. Obviously, massively increasing the standard of living and life expectancy of diabetics. Among other things, a great leap forward in medical history. Okay, let's do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. It's that time of the show. Let me do this with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen. Is Global Church History going to be in at number one? I did see some talk in the chat before the show that it wasn't showing up, or Global Church History has said that sometimes if he sends it too early, it doesn't register, or at least it doesn't come up on my screen or something like that. So we shall see. Is Global Church History going to be in at number one? I hope so. Yes, there he is. It's a good day. Reigning, defending, and still the undisputed champ of Rumble Rants on the Bow Show. All right, Global Church History said, today in 578 BC, Jerusalem was captured by Nebuchadnezzar II. Jewish people still mourn that to this day, don't they? The Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, capturing Jerusalem and forcing a lot of the Jews to leave their homeland. Taken to captivity in Babylon. Still banging on about that to this day. Alright. On this day in 1689 AD, the Iroquois massacred the people of Lachin. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Lachin, near Montreal. Yeah, this idea that the Native American peoples, whether in Canada or the United States, they were like completely peaceful. The evil Europeans came over and started massacring them for no reason. No, they were quite warlike peoples, usually. The Iroquois, though. That's interesting. I'm basically Mohawk. Didn't you know? Iroquois Nation and my people. What on earth am I talking about? When I did my DNA test, the first one I did, there's legend in my family, in the Dade family, that we might have some, because my father's American. He was born and raised in Oregon. Go Ducks. He's an American of European ancestry. He's an American and only came to Britain in the 70s. And there's a legend in the Dade family that there might be some American Indian, Native Indian blood in there somewhere. I did my DNA test on Ancestry.com and there wasn't any Indian blood in it whatsoever. Native American Indian blood. First Nation peoples. There was no, it didn't show up at all. There's nothing. I'm entirely from Great Britain and Northwestern Europe. Then I did another one. There's Ancestry.com and Living DNA. In the other one, I can't remember which way around it was, but I did a second one, just out of interest, just to see if it would show up anything different. It did show up something different. It showed up like 1%, or was it 2%, of Iroquois ancestry. Tom Rousell, Survive the Drive, says anything that low might just be noise in the DNA, and it might not be true, but I came back sort of 98-99% Britain, Northwestern Europe, but tiny slither of sort of a Canadian, native Canadian ancestry. So, probably from the area of where the Mohawks are. Iroquois, the Iroquois people. It may or may not just be noise in my DNA, but might explain the cheekbones. Do you see it? Do you reckon it's in there? I don't know. I'm going to claim it is, though. And that I want reparations from France, the French colonialists who damaged and colonised my people. I'm going to demand actual reparations from the Elysee Palace in France now. Now, of course I'm not. Okay. Have people already photoshopped me as an American Indian in all sorts of ways? Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's loads of AI generated, well not loads, there's a fair few, half a dozen or more AI images or photoshopped images of me with like the Indian headdress thing on. I think it's funny. Okay, all right, thanks Global Church History for your two factoids this morning. What else have we got? Let's move through them. All right, Big Paradox 23 says, the IRGC designated RAF Fairford in Gloucestershire, it's not very far from where I'm, just north of where I'm sitting right now, RAF Fairford. They said they designated it a legitimate target on Thursday. Yeah, I know, I reported on it on the Bow Show, I believe, on Friday. Claiming that the US military had launched B-1B Lancer bomber missions from the airfield to strike Iranian targets. Yeah, yeah, I talked about it in the show today, didn't I? And I talked about it in a bit more detail on, I think, Friday. And we're still letting Iranians into this country. Mad, isn't it? Yeah. RAF Fairford is really quite close to where I am right now. Okay, TomRat247 says, your reminder there is a video of George Bernard Shaw praising the idea of folks justifying their existence to a British Soviet with the view to euthanise the indolent and lazy. Fabian's gonna Fabian. Yeah, George Bernard Shaw, the famous writer, was a hardline socialist. Hardline. Very, very hardline. Didn't he even advocate for sort of eugenics and stuff, I believe? Yeah, if he'd lived longer, I imagine he would have been an actual Stalinist or a Maoist or something. He was a hardline Marxist. George Bernard Shaw, yeah. Leftists don't remind you of that very often, do they? If ever. He wanted a British Soviet. And to just kill the indolent and lazy. All right, George. All right, mate. Calm down a bit, bro. Very, very good friends with T.E. Lawrence. Unfortunately, a bit of a stain on T.E. Lawrence's memory, if you ask me. Okay, next one is also TomRat247, who says, Burnham thumbing off democracy is a good thing. An incoming restore government is enabled under the same principle to transform Britain, starting with Heinleinianism. I know Tom Rat 247 loves Heinlein, Robert Heinlein, and Heinleinianism. Yeah, maybe I can sort of see the angle you're going with there. That if there's a precedent set, that an all-powerful executive just acts via fiat to do whatever they want. If and when we get our people in power, they've got the precedent to do the same thing. Slippery slope, but I mean, I can totally see your angle, where you're coming from with that. Yep. Okay, Fortean Barber says, "Morning, Bo, all right?" "Yeah, I'm all right. Are you all right, brother?" "I hope so." He said, "I missed T-Sop Sunday." That is Sunday, T-Sop Sunday time. That's just my live stream on Sunday evenings with Harry. Can you? My live stream with Nate on the State of Politics channel. Fortean Barber says he missed it, but I did catch the interview with Brandon Fugel, the Skinwalker Ranch owner. It was very interesting. Have a good weekend ahead. Yeah, do you know what? I've looked a bit into the Skinwalker Ranch. People talked about it for a long time, and I just ignored it. I'm not particularly interested in that, but probably about, I don't know, 6 months ago, a year ago, I had some free time, and I thought, okay, all right, I'll watch a documentary or two, read up a bit about the Skinwalker Ranch. I'm sort of mildly interested in aliens and stuff. From what I could gather, there was nothing to it. It was complete bullplop. Weak sauce. I thought, personally, the Skinwalker Ranch stuff. I feel like it's for people that can't really draw any sort of distinction between reality and nonsense. It's not even a pop at you, Fortean Barber, of course, but just... Right, Acid Helm. The last two are both from somebody called Acid Helm. The first one, they say, I'm in a Boomer Book group, that's Facebook, right? Boomer Book group for Scottish Pride, not the gay one. Like having actual pride in your nation, right? And it's full of indie tards. There is this one guy who seethes violently when anything pro-union happens. Some people want indie ref to at any cost. Yeah, some Scottish people are defined by their hatred for England, aren't they? Unfortunately. The chip on their shoulder about England weighs them down and clouds their mind. Yeah, absolutely. It's a them problem, really, isn't it? Okay, and the second one from Acid Helm says, despite voting for people who absolutely refuse to make the necessary cuts to welfare, etc., for that to even remotely be feasible, I guess you're still talking about independence for Scotland. It's almost funny until one realises their vote counts as much as mine. Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? It's funny. Say you're a Scottish person who just wants Scottish independence at all costs. But then you look at the Scottish National Party, you look at the corruption of Wee Jimmy Cranky's brother and a number of other things, you look at how they've flooded their leadership with anti-white psychos, and you look at their policies, how they want to flood Scotland with more people from Gaza or whatever. You look at that party and their policies and think, yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, Scottish independence. So that the country can be flooded with endless Bomalians. Yeah. Go SNP. Yeah. I'm going to buy the Daily Record every day. Believe what it says. Freaks. All right. Harry, can you bring up the YouTube ones, the YouTube Super Chats? You have to do that for me if you don't mind. Thank you. Okay. Calzetti. I've noticed Calzetti's been first a few days. Is Calzetti the YouTube equivalent of Global Church History? Anyway, in at number one, Calzetti says they're gearing up for climate lockdowns. Yeah, it feels like it, doesn't it? Yeah. They would do that if they could get away with that. If they thought they were politically able to just do that, they would do it already, I think. Yeah. Yeah, climate taxes, we've already got those, but increased climate taxes and climate lockdowns. Yeah, you must be under house arrest, effectively, because of the climate. CO2 is only something like 400, 475 parts per million in our atmosphere. Very, very, very tiny proportion. And of that, only half, maybe half, is man-made in the last century or two. That doesn't drive climate change. 200-odd parts per million of CO2, that doesn't drive climate change. It doesn't. Okay? It doesn't. It simply doesn't. They want to put us under house arrest at some point because of on the strength of that. Liars. Liars. Next one is also from Calzetti. He says, Zoomers may not remember Climate Gate circa 2009. Well, I'm old enough to remember. I was already in my 30s or whatever. Climate Gate. What exactly was that? I don't remember. Climate Gate. I don't remember exactly what that one was. I'm afraid. Sorry. Okay. Emily Forrestore says, it isn't enviros starting the fires. It's the same new Europeans who also burn down churches. The sicker enviros still support them flooding in, though. Yeah, maybe. May be the case. May or may not be the case. It may be. Yeah. Next one is also Emily Forrestore, who says, Telegraph says, the RGC boasts Tehran has London cells waiting for instructions to make London unsafe. Quote, smuggling refugee routes more useful than missiles. Fair take. Fair take. Smuggling in human assets more effective than missiles. Quite possibly. Quite possibly. Mr. Dickie Bingo, how are you, sir? Super fan. Thank you for watching. Says, anyone making money from the man-made climate change scam should be stripped of all assets and forced on a date with Mad Ed Miliband. Yeah, the scam of it, the grift of it as well. Do you remember Ghislaine Maxwell? Ghislaine Maxwell, before the most recent Epstein scandal, where Epstein was actually put in jail and then died in custody. Before that, but after Epstein's actual conviction for child sex crimes, she tried to reinvent herself as an environmentalist. She was like going on TED Talks, talking about how she knows all about the environment and climate modelling and the state of the oceans and the ice caps and what needs to be done. Ghislaine Maxwell. You're going to tell me it's not one giant grift, one giant globalist grift. It is. Of course it is. If you've bought it, if you believe it, you need to sort yourself out. You need to get a clue. Wake up. It's nonsense. Okay. Thaddeus Bungo McTitpop. That's this person's name. That's what they've decided to call themselves. At Thaddeus Bungo McTitpop says, it seems they are rolling out the red carpet for Restore. You think so? I don't feel that. Be nice if they did. They couldn't shoot themselves in the foot anymore if they tried. I'd be interested to know exactly what you mean by that, what you mean by that, or what you're referring to. It seems they're rolling out the red carpet for Restore. Be nice. I'll take it. Okay. Be interesting to know exactly what you mean, what you're referring to there. Okay. Justin Green, 8572, says, hey, Bo, watch The Return for a better ending to The Odyssey. The Return. Okay, I don't know. I mean, I know the ending of The Real Odyssey. On the movie, the Christopher Nolan one, they have it that Odysseus sends himself into exile for killing all the suitors. And he takes Penelope with them, and they quite literally sail into the sunset. That's not how Homer's poem ends. The actual text of the poem, the epic poem by Homer, ends with just Odysseus sitting back on the throne in his rightful place as king of Ithaca, and everything's good. And his son Telemachus is by his side, and his wife, Penelope, queen of Ithaca, is by his side. That's how it ends. Some sort of self-imposed exile. I believe there is a tradition, a sort of a later, whether it's an Athenian play or something, there's something in the later tradition saying that Odysseus did something like that. But that's not how Homer ends it. with him literally sailing into the sunset. But I don't know exactly what the return is. You've put it in air quotes, the return. I don't know what that is, but I'll check it out. I'll Google it. Okay. Next one. Kiefer Brown, 1337, says, wasn't Eamon Holmes just holidaying in Bordeaux? Poor old Eamon Holmes. Eamon Holmes is responsible for everything, isn't he, that goes bad in the world? Everything. Throughout history as well. Eamon Holmes. Anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, just quickly to say. Because every day there will be some new people. We're like, what? What's Eamon Holmes got to do with the wildfires in Bordeaux? Or anything, really. I once accidentally mistook Eamon Holmes for Hugh Edwards. I was talking about Hugh Edwards. I meant to say Hugh Edwards. My brain was thinking Hugh Edwards. My ears heard me saying Hugh Edwards, but my actual mouth said Eamon Holmes. Terrible blooper. Probably the worst blooper on the Bow Show over 7 months. And now it's an in-joke on the Bow Show that it's actually Eamon Holmes is responsible for things. Like the burning of the library at Alexandria, Eamon Holmes. The siege and subsequent mass suicide at Masada, that's Eamon. The massacre of the garrisons at Drogheda and Wexford, Eamon Holmes. It's all Eamon, all the way down. In all honesty and in all seriousness, Eamon Holmes had a stroke, didn't he, in like April or something. And he's recovering from that. So in all seriousness, the completely innocent Eamon Holmes, best of luck to you, sir. Get well soon. If you ever hear of this, it's just a silly joke. Playing on the fact that I once made a terrible blooper at your expense. In good faith, I didn't mean to besmirch your good name. And now it's an in-joke. Get well soon, Eamon, in all sincerity. Okay. It's going to happen nearly every day, isn't it? I've got to keep explaining it every day? I don't know. All right. Pendragon 111 says, we are lost. If you had to leave, where would you go? I'd prefer to stay, of course, just if you had to decide. Okay, first of all, I'll say I'm not going anywhere. I'll live and die on these islands. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not deserting England, especially in her hour of need. But you have said there, if you had to. If I had to live anywhere else in the world, for a start, it would have to be an English-speaking country. Probably the United States, probably. It seems like there's some lovely places, beautiful places, all over the United States. I've been to the United States, I've been a fair few places. Some places in, like, the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, maybe. Some places up in Vermont look beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Some places even in the West, when I went through the Rockies, Colorado Rockies. I'd like some places out in the Pacific Northwest, maybe Oregon, Seattle, places up like Montana, Idaho. I like the mountains. It'd have to be an English-speaking country. Probably the United States, especially since I've got lots and lots of family there and stuff. I'm half American, you see. I mentioned earlier, didn't I? My dad was born and raised in Oregon. Go Ducks. The West Coast is the best coast. Okay. The next three are Belgians Are Evil, Trust Me. That's their name. At Belgians Are Evil, Trust Me says, name of Novak and Cody Harper cops need releasing. Yeah, they do. Yeah, quite right. Couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely. If and when they go on trial, I'm not sure if the Cody Harper cops will go on trial. They probably won't, but any Novak ones might. We'll find out then. You've also said, Birmingham girl cop re Cody Harper, total sociopath. Is she, I mean, quite possibly seems like it from the clip I saw. I don't know anything further about her or that incident. I know the original footage and the foray around it a bit, and that he's now been released and charges dropped. Beyond that, I don't know anything about like that individual female cop or anything. She'd seem a bit like a sociopath. She seemed just to approach the victim of a street assault and completely ignore the gang that are quite slowly walking away. An utter failure as a police officer, isn't it? Utter failure. Try and apprehend the victim who's getting beaten up. Then they wildly swing at you and you try and press them with charges. She wouldn't be pressing the charges as the CPS, but whatever. Try and paint him as just deliberately trying to attack her. That's not what happened. Thank God there was footage and that the footage went viral. Thank God. Otherwise that Cody Harper would be in trouble, wouldn't he? Probably go to prison or whatever for assaulting a police officer. when he was the victim of a street attack. Okay, and last one from Belgians Are Evil, Trust Me, says, no physicality, but we must know names to mock them. Physicality, is that what you said? No physicality, but we must know names to mock them. Well, yeah, fair enough. Kipper 338 says, Epox is excellent content at twice the price. Thank you, that's very kind of you to say. I'm proud of that body of work. Over 270, knocking 275 episodes now, built up over 5 years, more than 5 years. 275 episodes, each one at least an hour. Some, most of them more like an hour and 20, an hour and 30, some of them 2 hours. So, without exaggeration, hundreds of hours of content. Everything from Göbekli Tepe to World War II. A couple of things after World War II. There's one all about the Iranian embassy siege of 1980. Thanks, Kipper. You say it's excellent content at twice the price. Very kind of you. You say, thank you for all the time, energy and work you have invested in providing history for us mere mortals. Thank you, I appreciate it. No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for watching it and subscribing. Really do appreciate it. Can't thank you enough. When content creators or people that are just on YouTube or whatever say things like, thank you, guys. You can't say it with enough sincerity. Because really, without you guys, it's nothing, is it? It's really nothing. See a small YouTube channel with, like, they've made some good content. Actually good content. And they've got, like, 80 subs. And their video's got, like, 5 views. I feel really sorry for them. It's hard to get the ball rolling. But no, thank you guys for watching it. Appreciate it. It's very kind of you to say, Kipper338. All right, and the last three here. Tatum2733 says, a lot of DNA test places add stuff for interest. Yeah, Tom Rousey was good on this, Survive the Jive. Some of the problems inherent in sending off your DNA and they send you back like Living DNA or Ancestry.com or 23andMe, all those sorts of things, that it's not 100% trustworthy. It's not like 100% accurate. It's only ever sort of an approximation. Listen to Tom Rosell if you're interested in a deep dive on that sort of thing. Or next time I get him on, fingers crossed he comes back on. We could talk all about that in much more detail, perhaps. Okay. The penultimate one today is from Thomas Tyne. Says, go Bows, not Ducks. Nah, we suck. Are you a Ducks fan? In Oregon. Are the Ducks not very good at the moment? Ducks are football, aren't they? American football, gridiron, right? The Ducks. Not ice hockey, is it? I think they're American football. Should really know that. They're American football, aren't they? The Ducks. Isn't it Oregon State University? Anyway, you're saying they suck at the moment. Okay, hope they get better. And the last one here today is from Tatum2733 again. It says, DNA that isn't there so people aren't disappointed. Right, yeah. There has been all sorts of stories, haven't there, that these DNA companies will madly just add in something sometimes. They just add in you've got a little bit of sub-Saharan ancestry or something. And it's just not there. They've just completely made it up. There's been stories like that, haven't there? Mad. Again, mad. Some sort of freakish fetish of an out-group preference for black and brown people. Why would you do that? Bruce. All right, that's the show. It's now 38 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime. On Monday the 27th of July in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. The glorious band, The Chosen Few. My band of brothers and sisters, thank you for joining me. Try and make the best of the day if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. It's the most valuable thing you will ever have, is your time. Orders of magnitude more valuable than any gold or gems or property or cars you will ever own. You can't take that with you. It's effectively of no value in the final reckoning, those things. What you do have that's of value is your time, and it's finite. I don't want to get too dark. I don't want to be too preachy about it. But your time on this earth is finite. You've got a limited number of days on this earth. When you're young, you think you've got endless days. You haven't. You haven't. Try and make it count if you can. If your time, you're at liberty to use your time how you see fit today. Please, please do, for your own sake, try and do something valuable with it. It's later than you think. All right, I'll leave it there. Until tomorrow morning then.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.